Soycle. Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
We are going to cut right to the chase because we only have this segment and this segment only with our next guest. But our next guest is Representative Mark Pocan. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Glad that you're here. So this is the third hour of the show is what we like to call the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. And so it's when we usually have a lot of fun, which we've been our topic that we want to ask you about less fun. But we have been told that you have quite the sense of humor.
I don't know. I think it's just because of the job I have. I don't know how it goes.
You just got to keep laughing through the two so you don't cry.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, especially these days, you know, let's just say Marjorie Taylor Greene is an interesting colleague.
I can only imagine. I feel like this is some of the questions I would love to ask you are probably better not on air and over a beer instead, as far as what some of these characters are like in person and what's an act versus what's real. But I guess, were you going to answer that?
No, I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting. Just a quick one. I mean, so Jim Jordan, who, you know, gets a lot of national attention, went to UW-Madison.
I know. He wrestled
the
there, right?
4 years I was there. And three of his kids have gone there since then. So one day I'm on the elevator with him and Tom Cotton. And Tom Cotton, you know, now senator, before he was is in the House, has one of the larger sticks up his behind than any member in Congress. And we're in the elevator, and also Jim Jordan goes, Madison, Wisconsin, best city in the country. And Tom Cotton's just like, this does not compute. You could tell why. And then also Jim goes, if you could stand all the liberalism. And, you know, so Jim actually at least has a personality, unlike like a Marjorie Taylor Greene. But Tom Cotton, oh my God, I've like really, like if you had a petri dish and you put together the most humorless possible conservative, you get Tom Petra.
More than Tom Robin Petra, Voss?
You know, actually, Robin isn't so bad.
Okay.
You know, one-on-one, I think. You know, the problem is he's got to do all the heavy lifting up there because, let's face it, there's not exactly like a dearth of like talented Republicans in Wisconsin. Yeah. So I think he has to do a little extra heavy lifting.
That's fair. Well, I guess we'll ask you, do you ever hang out with your GOP, whether it was before Congress, when it was a state legislature, or now, do you hang out with any of your GOP colleagues outside of work hours?
I used to put more of the state legislature because around the Capitol, you know, you'd run into people and that was my district. So you'd run into people when you're in your neighborhood, so to speak. And I think the relationships were better. But again, that's also because I've been in Congress now for my 11th year. So we've already gone through Tea Party. Tea Party are now moderates. Then we went to the extreme MAGA, and now you got to throw in some Q. You know, these are people that generally, you know, you'd rather go to the dentist and have a little work done than spend time with. And it's just, it's a very different Republican Party these days, especially because it's really a cult. It's not even a political party. I mean, to call it a party, you'd have to have a platform nationally. They don't, right? Yeah. When they had the Republican convention and nominated Donald Trump, they chose not to have a party platform because whatever Donald said, well, that's what most of us would call a cult. So, you know, it is a little hard for, you know, most people don't have friends who are Hare Krishnas, and most people don't have friends who are Republicans these days with the new era.
Well, that's a downer.
And it's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. And I think it's interesting as we talk about the effect, the long-lasting effect of gerrymandering as far as it not being representative to people, but it's also driving the candidates and the ended up the elected officials to be extreme and and not be willing to compromise because they have safe seats and they just don't want to get primaried.
Yeah, I was friends with Reed Ribble, who represented the Green Bay area, and mm-hmm. he left Congress. He term limited himself and decided that he was going to, you know, leave. And, you know, he's someone who's one of those Republicans who was very conservative, but very reasonable. You could talk to, find out where you yeah. might have something in common, which is what you should do if you're an elected rep, rather than what you don't, because that's pretty easy, right? But that's kind of like what you learn in fourth grade, how to have friends, right? See what you have in common with people. It's just there's a lot fewer. And now, you know, the more extreme you can be, the more you can fundraise. And mm-hmm. that is the new unfortunate era we're in. So, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and those folks, even though they get more attention, there's probably 10 or 20 more people for each one of them in the caucus that also is that extreme.
They just don't get that much attention. Can you imagine if they all got that much attention? Yeah. All right. We're talking to Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. And so what we really want to talk to you about was the bill that you co-authored, Save Medicare mm-hmm. Act, because we've talked about this once on the show before, but I think a lot of people do not understand that Medicare Advantage is not an extension of Medicare. It is actually something quite different. And so can you tell us more about what the bill aims to do?
Sure. So Medicare and Social Security are two of the most popular programs that the federal government has. People benefit from them. You know, by all measures, they're very strong programs with public support. The problem is only Medicare is Medicare, and a lot of people are on Medicare Advantage programs. And because Medicare is in the name, they think it's still Medicare. But Medicare Advantage programs are actually private insurance programs that replicate some of the aspects of Medicare, and sometimes they'll throw you even a little bone, like we're going to cover, you know, hearing, or we're going to give you a little cheaper prescription drug effort. But it's because it's a private insurance plan. So, for example, my mom, when she was in her upper 80s down in Kenosha, needed some help, and she had a nice salesman who came by and sold her Medicare Advantage. And when she needed some help in the senior living place she was at, a doctor came who could have given it to her if she was on Medicare. But because she was on Medicare Advantage, you're within the network of that private insurer, she would have had to go all the way across town, and she wasn't especially mobile. So she never got the help that she actually needed. And we hear these stories over and over and over. If you're in one of those plans and you live in Wisconsin, and maybe you're in California, well, if there's not a doctor in network there, you're going to pay out of your own pocket, which you never would do with Medicare. So there's a whole lot of reasons why, and people don't know the difference. You know, like my mom didn't know. She thought she was on Medicare because it was Medicare Advantage. It just, you know, in fact, they've gotten so swarmy, is the word I'll use because we're on the radio, that they actually have started referring to themselves as like Medicare Part C, or they give themselves a very official sounding name when they are private insurance. But here's the thing it should really make people nervous. A majority of people in this country now are on Medicare Advantage. So what's going to ultimately potentially happen is you have these plans not work, because they don't always work for everyone. If you're younger and healthier, they might be fine, but not for everyone. Well, then they're going to actually hurt the brand of Medicare. So Ro Khanna and I introduced a bill along with about 20 people to say you shouldn't be able to use the word Medicare in the name, right? Call yourselves, you know, I'm Humana Advantage, I'm Blue Cross Blue Shield Advantage. That's fine. People understand it's an alternative plan and they can make that decision. But I don't want seniors to be swindled thinking they still have Medicare, but some extra benefits when in reality they have a program that's not the same and only Medicare is Medicare.
Only Medicare is Medicare. But the question I have, so because I've never signed, like, could I sign up for Medicare Advantage? Is it an open program, or is there still stipulations that you have to be 65 and older?
It's still an alternative to Medicare. So they still have that. But something I should have mentioned and I didn't, these programs are twice as profitable as normal health insurance, which is why they don't want to make any changes to these programs. And they overbill the government and they don't have to pay it back. So we've had, if you follow, New York Times has done some amazing stories on the scammy nature that these companies have done. And not only do they get away with it, which is why they continue to do it, but they'll literally incentivize a doctor to find more things wrong with you, because they get paid by how many ailments you have or how many things you have wrong with you. So that's why they try to find a bunch, but then they don't help you necessarily cure them, because that would cost money. So it is really all about driving profit. And because it is twice as profitable as normal health insurance, they don't want this program touched. In fact, they're trying to find out ways to stop it. They're claiming that we want to cut Medicare because we're going after some of their programs, when in reality, we're trying to protect it, and they're the ones that are endangering it.
Wow. And so is there support? Are you finding people are, I mean, is this like, is it, does this feel pretty partisan compared to how many things also always feel partisan? Or is there more people than you expected that kind of like feel similarly about this as you do?
I hate to say something this negative, but I have to. This is a bipartisan issue, and I mean BUY partisan issue, mm-hmm. because it's big insurance companies lobbying hard to keep their profits. And unfortunately, sometimes in Washington, where there's 15,000 plus lobbyists, that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is build this from the grassroots, where people are trying to protect their Medicare and Social Security and other things that they really respect the federal government does. But it should be a fair program. We're not saying they can't do this insurance. They can still be wildly profitable, but don't scam a senior in order to get the business. That's ultimately the biggest problem that we have.
And why is that allowed? Why is that legal? How can, why can't we slap them? I don't know.
So this was one of these, I think, brilliant ideas a while back. And I think it might have came from the Reagan era, but I can't say that for sure. But I think it's about the time it came around, to try to have cost savings. How can we save money in doing Medicare? Well, you know, Medicare is about providing health care, not about necessarily profitability or anything else. So some of these have slippery slopes. But the good news is, you know, some of the cabinet secretaries come before my committee on appropriations, and I'm going to be asking some questions, I believe it's either this week or next week, about this very subject, because I am concerned, you know, and I want to know more about how we can continue to justify these. They did this at another program where they had some alternative programs they tried and have not been doing well. And to the Biden administration credit, two of the three they got rid of. The problem is, why not the third one? Like, sometimes we got to, you know, make sure we're doing it all the way and protecting people. And that's what some of us are trying to do in Congress.
Well, we appreciate it. And so we will link more information about this and the bill and anything that is pertaining this as far as trying to build grassroots momentum for it. But we will definitely have to have you back. So we're so happy to have your inaugural visit to As Goes Wisconsin, Representative Pocan.
Yeah, thank you. And sometime we can actually talk about some of that,
I know,
that insider
we'll
stuff.
We'll get that beer in Madison at some point, and I'll get the tea.
That'd be great. Take
care. All right, thanks so much. All right, stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It was rhetorical. I'm dropping her. Oh, my gosh.
So roll out the barrel and strike up the band. Heavens praise Lombardi, the pack is back again. And now Wisconsin, the Badgers say, it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee. It's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And do you enjoy spring cleaning? Is that still a thing?
I think it is still a thing. It might be more of a generational thing.
Why? So first, do you enjoy spring cleaning? 844-967-2789. I feel like, why spring?
Why do it in spring?
Yeah.
Well, because I think it's about being able to open up the windows, air out the house. That was always growing up. That's when you take the big rugs outside and you smack and you beat the rugs and you air everything and wash the windows. And that was my mother's routine. It certainly was something that she did.
Do you do it?
You know me.
I don't know. You garden a lot. I feel like every once in a while you have like your weekends. I'm like, what are you doing this weekend? You're doing something around the house.
I am not a great housekeeper. I will wash the windows though. That bugs me.
Okay.
So that's something I try and do at least once a year, if not twice.
Because next week is National Cleaning Week.
Oh, I'm so excited.
March 26th through April 1st is National Cleaning Week.
National Cleaning Week.
And I don't know how you poll this, but I guess 82% of Americans planning to do spring cleaning this year. So
wow.
I don't know where that number came from, but
we'll take it.
We'll take it. I every once in a while, like when I have time to do a deep cathartic clean, I will do that. But it takes me, because I am someone who doesn't pick up after myself.
Okay.
So things get very messy, and then I have to designate an allotted amount of time to clean. But then when I do it, I do it well.
I mean, do you like down to the baseboards? Do you wipe down the baseboards and stuff?
No, not like the baseboards. But as far as like, I feel like when I get the urge to actually organize and put my shirts in like order of like the tank tops go here and the t-shirts and the short sleeve shirts go here and the long, like the sweaters and the buttons ups and like actually try to make things look like there's some rhyme or reason to the room and wipe everything down. But that's like a commitment of an entire day.
Oh my.
Versus it would be like, oh, just pick up after yourself and do it for 5 minutes and do it immediately instead of needing to put the, like a chunk of time to doing it.
To declutter.
But I married someone who tolerates cleaning up after me, so
well, you found the right man.
That's like anytime there's jokes about women in the like household labor, I like nod my head. I'm like, oh yeah, totally. I was like knowing full well that I am the slob. But yeah, what's the most, as far as like cleaning and when you find stuff, because sometimes I always maintain that nothing's ever lost. It's just misplaced.
Okay.
And so what do you think is the most exciting thing you've ever found when cleaning?
I would think money.
I think money too.
Because I know I'm still missing $200 that's somewhere in a book in my office and I can't find it.
Oh, really?
Oh, then this is from years ago. It's driving me nuts.
So money, yeah, money in a pocket is always nice. But I ever feel like it's always a surprise because I'm not like that where it's like, I know that I had this money. Where did it go?
Where is it?
It's more of like, oh, hey.
Oh, great. I have money.
But I feel like other things that were listed in this little piece that I found was something that's been misplaced, like a phone, charger, wallet, keys, something you thought that you lost, I guess.
Okay.
A sentimental item.
Piece of jewelry or something?
Piece
photograph,
of jewelry.
Maybe?
Yeah, like a note, maybe you thought that you card. Cash, old checks. Unused, partially used gift cards.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of those. I forgot. I feel like gift cards are one of the biggest scams out there. The amount of money that is spent on gift cards every year compared to how much is redeemed in gift cards every year.
It's shocking.
Is so out of balance.
Yes.
And we have an entire bag of just
do you
gift
really?
Cards that Mike is better at remembering. Because like for one of our, a couple of our wedding gifts was gift cards to like a Barlotta restaurant. And I think we've used those. But the Starbucks gift cards, the Amazon gift cards, that I feel like a lot of those don't end up getting used.
Well, and then they expire and everything.
They can't expire.
They can't expire.
That's no, not anymore. That was, I remember when they passed that law.
Really?
Now, if money was, a coupon can expire.
Okay.
But if you paid money for a gift card, it cannot expire. It is cash. You can lose it and you don't get it back.
Oh,
I did. But it can't expire anymore.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is. I think there's other things like if you bid on something in a silent auction, which is discounted. Or, you know, it was given as a gift, but you paid, the company itself did not get that money, right?
Right.
They gifted it.
Right.
The money
to
that you paid went to the charity. That kind of stuff can have an expiration date. But as far as I understand it to be true, if you pay Starbucks for a gift card, it cannot expire.
Oh, that's good to know.
But if you never use it, it might as well expire.
So the lesson here is use your gift cards, people.
Use your gift cards. Use them. Don't save them thinking you're going to use it like on a special occasion. Just when you get it, use it.
And that can be said about so many. Use the good china. Use the fancy candles. Use them.
Just use them.
Just use them.
Don't save them. All right. Well, let us know if you are planning on spring cleaning next week and what's the most exciting thing you've ever used. But otherwise, when we come back, a debate on what child actor deserves a comeback. We saw Kwee Kwan, such a great comeback this year.
Just won an
after
Oscar.
Being Short Round and Data in Goonies and won an Oscar this year. And I found an article as far as listing some other candidates of child actors who were huge, who we really haven't heard from. But if you have thoughts, what child actor deserves a comeback? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll talk about it when we come back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Is that Hook?
No.
Why do I know this song?
You should know this huge book series.
Oh, Harry Potter.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What is the... I feel like the Hook music sounds similar to that. But yeah, now I hear it. All right. Fun... Here's some no sour, haha, fun time power hour topic, if there ever was one. What child actor deserves a comeback? And it has, so I feel like they can't still be acting and like have a, they're just not as famous as they were when they were kids.
Okay.
So I feel like, cause like Lindsay Lohan
is almost 40 now.
She's my age. But, and I feel like she worked into her 20s and then she has a comeback. She has a bigger comeback than just not getting work. She kind of has a comeback. She's also pregnant. Do you know that?
I did.
So I feel like, you know, like Christina Ricci, she's acting, she's working. So it's not just the child actors that we remember. It's also like some of them are still like,
they're still in
like
the
all
business.
The Harry Potter kids are all still acting.
Except for Rupert Grint, I think, who was Ron Weasel.
Is he not?
Weasley.
Is he not?
He had done a few things, but I don't think that he's been nearly as successful, obviously, why am I drawing a blank on Hermione?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, who's amazing. And Daniel Radcliffe.
Because he also does a lot of theater.
He does.
And so I feel like those aren't good examples because they may never do anything that eclipses the Harry Potter series, but it doesn't mean they're not working.
True.
Actors. So I feel like this is talking about potentially people who kind of just disappeared.
One day they were there and then they were gone.
Were very famous and then all of a sudden we didn't know what happened to them when they grew up. So if you have any suggestions, 844-967-2789, what child actor would you like to see have a comeback? Do you have anyone off the top of your head?
The one I can think of is the kid from The Sixth Sense.
Haley Joel Osment.
That's who it is.
And he was in, I want to say he was in the Entourage movie.
Really?
Because he grew up to be pretty short. Like, I feel like he was in the Entourage movie, which I never saw. I think I just remember hearing that he was in it. And he was, like, he played himself, but the version of himself, and I have no idea if this is how he actually is, like a dick, because he's like short, a little heavier, not like overweight, but just like a little stockier.
Yeah.
Not very big, and like the character that he played that was himself was just like a chip in his shoulder, if I'm remembering this correctly. But yeah, I don't think he does a lot.
Yeah, he didn't go on.
But considering that he's one of the youngest actors to ever be nominated for an Oscar, and then. Really, I mean, he did Sixth Sense, AI with Steven Spielberg, He was obviously in Forrest Gump.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He was young Forrest. He was really little in that
one.
Wow. And then he never really grew up to be. You know who was the other one? The kid who was in Jerry Maguire with the glasses.
Oh.
I forgot what his name is, but he was in that movie and a couple others.
He was a cute kid.
He was a cute kid. I think he's another one who grew up to be not as cute as an adult.
What a curse.
I know.
Especially for an actor.
But I was thinking about this because I think and it's hard because if you think about, I don't think Ki-Wei Kwan was on anyone's bingo card as, oh yeah, what happened to that guy? Because I think a lot of if you think of the Goonies, I mean, obviously when he was in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and as Short Round, and then he was in the Goonies as Data. And most of the guys from Goonies, I guess, him and then the guy who played Chunk, he actually called out in his Oscar speech as his Goonies
great.
Brother. Because that guy's a lawyer now. Like, he also is not acting, but he's been successful. But I was trying to think, kind of a hard topic because you forget until you get them offered to you. A lot of them you forget. Because one thing, at least in the one that I'm looking at, this is from BuzzFeed, Jake Lloyd, who played young Anakin in the first, so I guess what's episode one.
Right.
Do you remember that kid?
No.
You don't do Star Wars?
I did. I liked the original three.
So you didn't see the.
I did see them. I remember almost nothing about them except what a bad actress Natalie Portman was.
Which is funny because she is a really good actress.
She's wonderful. She was terrible in those movies.
And you also, because someone who had, that was supposed to be his huge breakthrough was Hayden Christensen, who played older Anakin in episode 2 and 3. And that was supposed to be his big breakthrough. And he also, I think it was just the writing was really bad.
Yeah, they weren't.
Because they had a lot of really good actors in those three movies. And I don't know. Maybe Jar Jar Binks just ruined it ruined the entire those three of the trilogy.
Going back to the Jerry Maguire kid, Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh yeah, that was his name,
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Do you see what he looks like now?
Yes, nothing like what.
Nothing
he looked
like how cute he was as a kid.
Not even, and he's 5'9",
which is actually above. I think that's average. I mean, in Hollywood, 5'9", 5'10" is pretty average.
Isn't Tom Cruise a munchkin?
He's 5'6". But yeah, 5'10" is, I think, you'd be surprised how many of the actors, leading male actors
that'd
are like 5'10", between 5'10" and 6 foot. 6'4" guys, which in my family is average.
Right.
Are huge. They look enormous. Like Vince Vaughn, 6'4", looks huge. Not that he's in a lot of movies, but Conan O'Brien's 6'4".
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that he's a giant. And Jason Momoa, I think, is 6'4". And so 6'4" on camera, not that 6'4" is short, but it's not 6'8".
Well, that's true.
They're not basketball players.
That's true. Still pretty tall, though.
Actually, we watched this a couple weeks ago. The Edward Furlong, who was in Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah. He got into a lot of trouble.
Did he?
After Terminator 2, I think he had some trouble with the law.
I feel like a lot of the 80s, 90s child actors got in trouble with the law. If you're just joining us, we are asking and debating what child actor deserves a comeback. 844-967-2789. Who was someone from one of your favorite movies that kind of just disappeared and never had an adult career? I'm trying to flip through. Yeah, you're right. Rupert Grint is on this list.
Yeah, Rupert.
But is it because he's choosing not to act anymore or because he can't find work?
Unknown.
Because I think Macaulay Culkin, if he wanted to work, I feel like he's famous enough that he could find work, especially because his younger brother is obviously very successful with Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
Has been very successful on Succession. And
I keep forgetting that they're brothers.
Oh, yeah. But Kieran Culkin was in all the Home Alones as like the little brother.
Oh, wow.
And as like his little brother with glasses. It was, he didn't have a ton of lines, but he was there. And then he obviously, his big breakthrough was Igby Goes Down, which I loved in high school. It's kind of like a newer version of Catcher in the Rye.
Interesting.
Very angsty.
Oh, I guess.
But I feel like if Macaulay Culkin wanted to work, he probably could. Someone would still
hire him.
But yeah, so like Hilary Duff is on this list from BuzzFeed, and she has a show right now.
I was going to say she's never stopped working.
She's never stopped working. She's on the new reboot of How I Met Your Father, which I have not watched. I have no idea if it's good. But she's still working, so I feel like that's not a comeback.
No, she's never really stopped working.
Oh, this is an interesting one. Remember Thora Birch?
Something very dark, right?
She was in, we were talking about Hocus Pocus yesterday. She was the little girl in the original Hocus Pocus when she was young. And then she was in American Beauty.
Oh, that's where I remember the name.
And she was also in Now and Then. Do you remember that movie?
Who was in that?
Now and Then, it was the four younger girls and then the four, their versions of them as older women. So the older versions of the main characters were Rosie O'Donnell, Demi Moore, Melanie Griffith, and Rita Wilson. And the younger girls were Christina Ricci, Thora Birch. I'm forgetting the other two. I loved that movie as a kid.
It must not have been a very good movie.
Oh, well, maybe it was just made for children, but I have a feeling that now the plot line may be a little flimsy. Like, I feel like sometimes thinking about movies that I watched as a kid, like if I were to go back and watch The Babysitter's Club, I don't know if the plot line would really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, yes, but you're a munchkin.
Now and Then, it was basically these four girlfriends and like their summer, and they were being like prepubescent because Thora Birch's character, really, she stuffs her bra. There's this whole scene where there's gel, like pudding. She's been playing with different things to stuff her bra with. And she said that pudding is better than Jell-O. And like they put it in like little water balloons, and that's what she stuffs her bra with. Very impressionable, obviously. I never tried it, but it stuck with you.
I did that once. I told you that for Halloween.
For Halloween, but you didn't do it to actually.
No.
To overcome an insecurity.
No, that is not why.
What was the Halloween costume?
It was Britney Spears in 20 years.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, except for when I started sloshing. But anyway.
But I'm trying to think. I feel like there's more that we're missing. I do know the little girl who played Matilda. You remember Matilda? And she was also in the remake of The Miracle on 34th Street. And she was in the youngest daughter in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, sure. She quit acting.
She quit acting. And she's actually a writer now, and I think she's written a fair amount about how traumatizing being a child actor can be. And it is interesting to see the actors who, because some of the people I feel like on this list, at least the one from BuzzFeed, like Dakota Fanning's on here. She's still working.
Oh, yeah.
But she was a great child actor. And so the ability to get through being a child actor and still have a successful adult career, I think, is
that's tricky.
Tricky.
It is. It's hard.
And a fair amount of the Disney stars are able to do it. Like Zendaya was a Disney star, and she seems without scandal in her life
and pretty solid. Yeah.
Miley had a period, as far as everyone was like, what's going on with her? But she's still going strong. Hilary Duff, obviously, like still working. Didn't have many scandals in her life.
Right.
Who else is in the Disney club that grew up to be, you know, they're doing fine. Because if you think about, I have this other list up as far as like the top 30 child actors of all time. And some of them are doing fine. Like Anna Paquin, who won an Oscar.
She was
at like 11.
Yeah, she was really young.
She's still working. She's doing fine. Elijah Wood seems to be doing fine.
Yeah.
Would you consider Molly Ringwald a child actor?
She was a teenager.
I guess she was 15 when she got a Golden Globe nomination for Tempest. So she was a teenager. But some, like, I feel like Natalie Wood, she was successful as an adult, but then she obviously has a lot of mystery around her death. Macaulay Culkin had a rough time for a little while.
Yep.
Tatum O'Neal
had a real
rough time for a little while.
Tragically.
Drew Barrymore, who's obviously amazing now, but would also say, I mean, she was doing drugs and parties
when
and stuff
at
like
12.
She was really young.
She was at Studio 54.
It's wild. Who thought that was a cool? Who's bringing a child to Studio 54 thinking that it's a good idea? Jeez. All right. Well, when we come back, we will wrap up today's show, preview what's coming up on Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are wrapping up today's Tuesday show. Another reminder that tonight, Civic Media is airing the debate that is happening. I think it's already happened.
And we're doing a replay
of it. Because I think, I'm not sure, the 1245 debate was aired live, but they are replaying it tonight. And you'll be able to hear the debate between Judge Janet Protasiewicz and former Supreme Court Justice, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, the one and only debate that happened today and is airing tonight. You can hear that across the Civic Media Network at 6 p.m. tonight. And I'm sure we will have plenty of discussion about what did or did not happen tomorrow. And actually, tomorrow, Judge Janet will be here.
Yes.
She will be here at noon. And so we will talk about how she thought the debate went, how she thinks the campaign is going. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask her, you can either email them to us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, or you can always text them to us at 844-967-2789. But she'll be here at noon tomorrow. Were you going to say something?
I'm curious about what she's hearing about on the campaign trail and what people are saying to her on when she's out on the stump.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see in such partisan times how insulated you are and how often you are going to events where you have a warm reception versus a more mixed bag.
Right.
As far as, you know, just getting to talk to people. And also, I think I still am baffled by the fact that we elect judges.
You think you would prefer they be appointed?
I understand that there's huge drawbacks with that too, but it just feels like a weird thing to put into our hands as far as like understanding the judicial system and not having it just become this partisan mess where, you know, to her credit, she's being very honest about her values, but that's fairly unique in a judicial campaign because what your job is to what's supposed to be, is to look at the law and interpret the law for the cases in front of you, which shouldn't have anything to do with your values, right?
Yes.
But that's not, I'm just saying that's an ideal world. That's not the world we live in.
I mean, Dan Kelly may say that he's not saying out loud what his personal beliefs are, but of course he is. Just by the groups that he's been representing,
I'm not saying she's doing it, he's not.
Right.
I'm just saying that's why it's weird that we elect people in this like guise of it being nonpartisan when it is. And it's become very partisan because we elect them.
I would still prefer that over having the governor be allowed to appoint them.
Yeah. Well,
then you're really going to have a stacked court.
I mean, are you? It's only if you have the same party as the governor for a long period of time. which we haven't really had.
Well, we had 8 years of
we had 8 years of Walker, but before that we had a Democratic governor. Yeah, it was a long time of Tommy.
Yeah, but Tommy Thompson was in office for decades.
Yeah, that's interesting. But tune in tomorrow to hear Janet Protasiewicz. And so that will be really interesting. And then big news, the creator of Veep, David Mandel, is going to be on As Goes Wisconsin on Thursday. It's tentatively at 1 o'clock, but he said just leave 1:30 open in case I need to push it back.
Okay.
So in the no sour, haha, fun time power hour.
Perfect.
David Mandel, who's worked on Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, created Veep. He was the person who went last fall for the West Dems fundraiser for the mashup between The West Wing and Veep.
Right.
That was his idea. And he wrote the script.
Oh, wow.
And so he's going to be here on Thursday.
Very
cool. And so we're going to talk about his life in Hollywood, but also why he's invested and cares about Wisconsin politics. So I'm really looking forward to that on Thursday. So we'll do some more press for that. But also, just I'd be remiss not to mention that it is World Down Syndrome Day.
Today is.
As a, I have an uncle with Down syndrome. Mike has had an uncle who has Down syndrome. Someone who's volunteered with Special Olympics often in my life.
Good for you.
It is, yes, it is World Down Syndrome Day 2023. And I don't know what you're supposed to do besides just raise awareness about it.
Be kind.
It's a global awareness day, which has been officially observed by the United Nations since 2012.
Wow.
And it's always the 21st day of the third month. And it was selected to signify the uniqueness of the triplication of the 21st chromosome, which causes Down syndrome.
Wow.
But yeah.
Look
what you learned.
Also National Poetry Day.
You had less interest in talking about poems.
Yeah. And I've read some poetry, but it's just not something that I'm very well versed in, you could say.
Pun intended.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I thought about it because we were talking over the weekend about how, did you ever have to memorize poems in high school?
That I remember.
So my grandmother was over for dinner and my mom and her both remembered that because we were just talking about how AI and all of the technology is making us dumber. And like some of our, like with our GPS, we don't have to remember directions.
You don't have to remember phone numbers anymore.
You don't have to remember how to do multiplication because you can just pull out like all of this stuff. And they were reminiscing on how you had to, like in school, they used to have to memorize and recite poems and work on their memory and how we don't have to do that anymore. And so, yeah.
Can she still recite it? Maybe not.
I doubt it.
That's a big ask.
That's a big one. Because it was a long poem. It was called If by Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, my.
And it was like one, two, three, it was four, like.
Stanzas
long. It was dense.
That's hefty.
She said it this morning. I was like, this was the poem you were talking about, right? And she goes, yeah, can you believe I at one point knew that whole thing? All right, we'll stick around for the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. He has Mayor Rosenberg coming on at 3:15 today to talk about the anti-Semitic flyers, the curling nationals that were held last weekend.
Big deal.
And what kind of event does for the city. And then on Dueling Tangents, Annalise Eicher is coming on at 2 with Luke, and then Dan Schaefer is on at 2:30. Annalise and Luke are going to be talking about Godlewski news that she is now going to, she's as of now the Secretary of State, and also what it means for politics. And then Dan and him are going to talk about, I guess, whatever Dan's writing about these days. So stick around for that. Thank you for texting today. Thank you for being part of the show. Come back tomorrow for another great rendition of As Goes Wisconsin. Just why?
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.